focusing on doing what they love, what they want to do, but not be too influenced by what other people think what they should do.
Aloha! Aloha, Terrell!
Aloha, Deidre!
And aloha to everyone out there, too!
Yes, aloha to you folks!
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right, we are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everybody.
Aloha, friends and family. Welcome back to our DT Talks podcast, season 3. How are you guys doing? Oh, why do I keep doing that?
Yeah, they're not going to see you now.
Yeah, there's okay. No live studio audience, but okay, it's fine.
It's all good. But hey, there's something new that we have, right, Terrell?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to talk about this because finally, after 3 seasons.
No, finally.
Yeah. We have an Instagram page. Woo!
So if you guys are on Instagram, please don't forget to find DT Talks Podcast. Yeah. Instagram.
Yes, DT Talks _ podcast.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Because yes. We don't want to tell them what happened with the first Instagram.
Yeah. At the moment, we have 2 accounts, but hopefully the other account will be successfully suspended so they can only... You're only going to follow 1 podcast Instagram.
Yeah, so DT Talks _ podcast, okay?
Yes, follow us.
Yes, please. So, shall we get to it for our episode for today? Terrell?
Oh yeah, let's get into it. But before that, let's go to the news. This is Uncle Taro back at it again for another episode here in DT Talks for good news. How are you, Deidre?
Oh, I am surviving. How about you?
Uncle Taro will hopefully get a new vaccine so that I don't have to deal with this virus in the current situation, yeah?
Yes, especially since you're older, yeah. You need to get it first.
Yes. Very, very important is for me to live longer than all of you.
Of course.
Okay. To the news in the goodnewsnetwork.org, there's a very special news that Uncle Taro really liked. Not because Uncle Taro is Christian, but this is a very good act from a pastor. The headline says, when pastor's bike was stolen, his response was to start a free bicycle repair service for people in need.
Oh, he was inspired by that after his... bike got stolen?
Yes. If you think about it, people these days will get very angry and then will be frustrated that their bike was stolen. But then this pastor, very, very smart, and he feels that he needs to help the community by fixing all the bikes in the community and then give them out for free. It says here, for most people, having property stolen feels like a violation. Robbie Pruitt admits when his mountain bike was swiped last September, he got mad. But soon enough, his emotions took a turn. After letting go of his anger and frustration, he found himself on a road to compassion instead.
Wow, who wrote that? Road to compassion.
Yes. With that thought in mind, Pruitt, an assistant rector at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Leesburg, Virginia, came up with a plan and posted it in a local Facebook group. Pruitt offered to fix bikes free of charge for anyone who needed it.
Where is he at?
He's at Virginia.
Okay, too far.
Yeah, very, very far. If not, Uncle Taro will also get the free bike also.
Of course you would, Uncle Taro.
And then in the last part, Pruitt hopes to integrate his bike ministry into his church as regular activity once the pandemic has been contained. In the meantime, the regular crew of helpers who gather in his backyard after their days of remote schooling is thankful for an outlet that lets them channel their energy in a positive direction and gives them sense of accomplishment.
That's good though.
One good lesson you can learn out of this is that you can be very angry when people steal your stuff, but then it is your choice to make it a positive life out of it.
That's true, Uncle Taro. You can always choose to be angry or not.
Always be wise with your emotions, because we are human beings, we get angry very easily. Just like Uncle Taro. Uncle Taro get angry all the time. But then what calms me down is MSG.
Of course, I know it. I put because MSG is life.
Yes, MSG is life. I put MSG in my tea, in my food, in my shoe. Put everything. Because makes Uncle Taro very, very happy.
Oh, okay. I won't question that.
Okay, this is all the news from me, Deidre. Take it away.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that good news and more info about the MSG. Let's get into the episode. We are first going to introduce our guest for today.
Yes, our guest for today, she's really, really special. She's all the way from Japan. She is... Well, I'll just let her introduce herself. So take it away, MJ.
Hi, I'm MJ Itabashi. So I was born and mostly raised in Japan. I moved to America when I was 15, almost 16. But the reason why I was in Japan is because my dad is Japanese and my mom is American. So I spend majority of my childhood there. And when I moved to America, I moved in with my mother's parents, so with my grandparents. I lived there for high school, and then I worked for a little bit, and then I went back to Japan and worked there a little bit again, and then went back to America to get my associate's degree, and then after that I moved to Hawaii. So I've been just going back and forth between America and Japan for the past 10 years, so about 20 years in Japan and then about 6 years in America.
Well, MJ, we're glad that you are our guest here today, and hopefully you enjoy what we're going to talk about here today. I don't think we mentioned the topic yet to the audience.
We will once we also do this little activity with our guests.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. Before we get to that topic itself, yeah, we can get to know MJ just a little bit more by playing Would You Rather?
Yes. Have you played that before?
Yeah, I've played it. My sister always asks me a bunch of weird questions.
Okay. Like, what's the weirdest one?
If I want to cut off my arms or cut off my legs.
Oh.
Okay, we're not going to ask that.
Okay, we'll just save that for your own imagination, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get on with the game. So I'll ask first. First up, would you rather be reborn into the past or the future?
I think the past, because I really like I like old music, so... Yeah.
When exactly in the past then?
Maybe around the 90s. I think it would be really cool if I could be like a young adult then.
Oh, okay. I feel like the 90s is one of the fun years or the decade like ever. I don't know what it feels like because I was like barely born. all of us are technically.
90s kid right here, so yeah. Let me ask you, would you rather lose your sight or lose your memory?
I would prefer to lose my memory.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I really had a bad memory already.
So you'd rather forget everything but have the ability to see everything?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. Next question. Would you rather be married to someone good looking who does not think you are attractive, or be married to someone ugly who thinks you are beautiful?
I think I would prefer to get married to somebody who thinks I am beautiful, but... I think that they are ugly.
Aww. Why so?
Well, I think I'd eventually think they're handsome.
True.
I feel like that's the most case.
Oh, that's the most case.
Yeah, like if you look at all the...
Are you saying all the dads out there are ugly?
I don't know. I mean, for some reason, they all marry the most beautiful women in the world. So, look at Beyonce's husband.
Wow.
Jay-Z. He's like, not the most handsome person in the world, but to Beyonce, he's like an angel.
Who knows? Yeah.
I'm not her, so I wouldn't know.
Side note, Terrell's secretly Beyonce.
Maybe I am.
I'm a celebrity.
Nah.
Okay.
Anyways, continue.
Would you rather lose all your friends but keep your best friend, or lose your best friend but keep the rest of your friend?
I would rather lose my best friend and keep all of my friends.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Dang. That's very interesting. Why?
Well, I think I can make another new best friend.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's an interesting thought. But what if you don't have the ability to do so anymore? But you can only make friends, but not like best friends.
Well, I'd rather have a support system than a support person.
I see what you mean.
Fair enough.
Because like, if anything happens to your best friend and then you're like, who do I have? I can understand it. Okay.
Final question. Would you rather become someone else or just stay you?
I'd rather stay me.
I think that's a very, sometimes very straightforward, but also at the same time, wouldn't it be nice to be like in a celebrity's position? You know, what does it feel like to be, what's his name? Sam Smith. Actually, I don't know what it would be like. That's the person that's in my head right now. That's why I'm just saying his name.
Not Beyonce?
Or Beyonce, yeah. We can use Beyonce again as an example. You know, her life is also very luxurious, very, yeah. Anyways, now
we don't know.
Know
what they all go through. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. We have to understand that their happy life in social media does not mean that they're always happy, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately and recently on Princess Diana. And oh my goodness, I cannot imagine living her life.
Yeah, probably is one of the most stressful things in the world. Like you can see them being happy, waving around at all the people that's around them. But in reality, they probably face the most pressure out of a lot of human beings in the world, you know?
Yeah. So I guess MJ chose right when she said she's just going to stay her.
If I had a choice to be a celebrity, I'd probably choose Chrissy Teigen, John Legend's wife.
Oh, Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, really?
She's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That was pretty cool, yeah. Okay, so let's get into our topic now that we've known MJ a little bit better. And our title for this topic, it's Who Am I? So now it's nothing creepy, guys. Don't think it's something creepy, but it's probably something that you've asked yourself in your lifetime. So Terrell and MJ, have you ever asked yourself that question? Who am I?
I mean, you can go first, MJ.
Who am I? I think I've asked that question a lot to myself. Like, who am I? What do I want to be? Or even what am I? I guess. Yeah, I think maybe when I question who am I or when I ask myself that, it's gotten more clear now. But I think, for example, growing up, one of my struggles living in Japan was because I'm half Japanese and my mom's pretty fair. So I have light brown hair. My skin is fairly fair. So when I buy like skincare products in Japan, they market it as, oh, this works great for Japanese skin. So I think, oh, well, how about me? What do I buy? What fits me? And so I think that's where I always question, like, who am I? Am I Japanese or am I American? Can I even be both? So, yeah, I would always ask, like, who am I? Like, what am I? But I think things started to shift more when I thought about, like, what kind of person I wanted to be. For example, even here, the reason why I'm in school is because I'm started focusing on things, what I wanted to do versus things I should do out of social pressure. Yeah, I've started focusing on more, like, what I wanted to be in the future more than what I am right now.
Right. That's pretty deep.
So that's why I'm probably too focused on myself, self-centered. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I just focus on what I want to do.
Hey, self-love is sometimes more important than caring your friends, you know?
I mean, it is important, yes, of course.
Yeah, how are you going to support others when you can't even, like, support yourself, you know? Yes.
What about you, Terrell?
For myself, I feel like I did have an identity crisis at one point while I was growing up because, as you guys know or might not know, I'm Chinese. Oh, yeah, fun fact about that. I just got my DNA results, just so you guys know or did not know, audience.
Oh,
I'm sure you didn't know.
How did you do that?
Is that the crazy results about it is that 98% of me is from southern China.
What's the other 2%?
The other 2% is Dai. So it's a minority in Myanmar. They're also Chinese.
Oh.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong. But like the region there is based on Myanmar. And so I'm 2% kind of Myanmar-ish Burmese person. But yeah.
I'm really curious. I want to take that test.
Yeah, just do it, man. Guys, we're not sponsored, but Ancestry.com does give you some good deals.
Yeah, but not sponsored.
Yeah, but if you ever get sponsored, that'd be great. Back to why it's relevant. Because, again, I'm Chinese. And even when I'm Chinese, I don't feel as comfortable speaking in Mandarin or Cantonese.
Okay.
Yeah, even though Cantonese is my first language, like I speak it when I was a kid, I grew up speaking with my parents, Mandarin as well. Friends around me speak Mandarin. I'm forced to speak it sometimes because, you know, how am I supposed to communicate with my friends? People with the same skin, you know? You know, Malaysia has different all kinds of races in school. So, you know, you either communicate one language or the other sometimes, right? For some reason, I feel very resonated with the English language. And the reason why it's an identity crisis is that I don't feel comfortable speaking my own mother tongue, yet I feel so comfortable speaking in English. Hence, you know, the podcast right now is that I can just speak so freely. Whereas if you're gonna hear me speaking in Mandarin or Cantonese, you hear me struggle a little bit. I can understand, but I'm still struggling. And I wonder how I survive being a Chinese sometimes. People talk to me in Mandarin, I just nod and say yes most of the time. But yes, yeah, I do feel that English is a prominent language for me. It's something I feel more comfortable with, and that's where the identity crisis comes in. Is I don't feel much Chinese besides the culture. You know, I still enjoy the culture, I know the culture and all that, but language wise it does give me some identity crisis of like, oh, should I still speak Mandarin or should I still like continue English because I feel more comfortable, you know? So listeners, in case you didn't know, we will be diving into the topic, which is like, you know, we talked about it for a couple of times already, the identity crisis. Now, according to the American Psychological Association, an identity crisis is a phase of life marked by experimentation, changing, conflicting, or newly emerging values, and a lack of commitment to one's usual roles in society, especially in work and family relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So those who study psychology, yeah, you'll be familiar with this because the famous psychologist, Erik Erikson, I remember learning about him in one of my classes. He claimed that it's natural and desirable for adolescents to go through a period of identity crisis and that greater maturity results from the experience. So the concept has been expanded to refer to adult midlife crisis and other periods marked by change or uncertainty about the self. Okay, so basically we all will probably have gone through this and we will have that identity crisis, especially like during certain phases in life, like as a teenager, as a young adult, even older when you're, you know, maybe midlife, 50s, 60s and such.
And I guess like it's a way of showing that it's very normal to have it, you know, and it's...
I mean, there's many forms, like you mentioned, it's in work or your relationships, your race and such.
I guess you can argue that it is a way of life that we have problem with identity crisis. I mean, is it possible not to have one though, if you think about it?
What do you think, MJ?
So going over this quote that Terrell just shared with us, it says that identity crisis is a phase life marked by experimentation, changing. It's something that's always changing, and you know, we're all changing. So I think for that part we could be faced with the identity crisis then, because you know, we're always changing. And then it goes into emerging values and a lack of commitment to one's usual roles in society. Coming from a both Japanese and American culture background, I guess I'm always flip-flopping back and forth, so I guess I do have a lack of commitment to my role in
I mean world. Like you went through a lot of countries, you travel around, you went to different schools. Did you feel that change though?
Yeah, so personality wise, I know I'm somebody who has like commitment issues, but definitely I felt the switch between either. Every time I go one area, I act a specific way. For example, while I was in high school, I felt like I had to prove to other people that I was Asian. While I was living in Japan, because I looked more foreign in Japan, I would always try and act more American. When I was a child, I was a chubby kid, so like in elementary school I struggled with looking different because I was chubby. I didn't really realize how different I looked appearance wise besides that until I started middle school. I thought I didn't have a boyfriend because I didn't look Japanese.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh, okay. Interesting secret.
I can kind of understand that though.
Why so, Deidre? Why do you think so?
Because like my mom, she's Filipino, and then my dad is Indian, but from Malaysia. So, I don't know, growing up, because I grew up in Malaysia, and I never felt different at home, so it's obvious my mom is really fair, and my dad is dark, and us kids, we are 10. Like, we're all different shades of color. My mom, my dad, and I. And growing up, we've never seen those differences because we were never taught to see it. And then when I started school, only then it was like people are like asking me, what are you? Like, you look like you're Malay, but you're not.
Mm.
And then it was hard to fit in because of like only when I got into school, then I'm like, I'm realizing that I'm different from other people. And then that's when I started like questioning myself, like, what am I? Because if I go out, people think I'm my mom's maid. And if I go out with my dad, people think I'm his worker. So, and then it's like when I go Philippines, it's hard to fit in because I don't speak the language. And then in Malaysia, even though I speak the language, it's like I don't look like the people here. And like they always question, what am I? And then when I go Hawaii, people always think I'm an islander. So no one thinks I'm Asian at all. So I got really confused, but I feel like I'm all over the place too.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that because not all of us are full raced. Is there anyone that has the like one identity of a race? If you think about it, I think all of us are too mixed to say that sometimes. I can claim that I'm full Chinese, but 98 Chinese. Yeah. I don't think in the world we can fully say that, oh, I'm this identity. Or like, let's say in MJ's case, oh, I'm full Japanese. Or I'm full white. You know, we can't claim it that way because it depends on where we are living and what our upbringing is. And that way, we'll be able to find ourselves. I think the important part of like having an identity crisis is how you feel you belong and how you feel comfortable being in that position, you know? It's a hard thing to solve, I think.
Oh,
but
there's no really per se like a way to solve it, but there's many different forms. Like the one we've been talking about lately for amongst three of us is more towards race and culture, but there's actually more to identity crisis than just that.
Yeah, so, I guess so. I mean, like for us, no, because I know so. Yes, sorry.
Especially in our audio responses.
Oh yeah, we will get into that really, really soon. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, all of us are young adults still. So maybe some other people are young adults who feel different than us. So let's get into the next segment where we're going to hear everyone, what they're going to say about identity crisis. Here we go.
For me, identity crisis is when someone is struggling to find his or her true identity. Identity can be created through social interactions or through inner motivation. Having identity can help us to, you know, boost our self-esteem as well in social life especially. But then I think it becomes a crisis when that person feels that he or she is not the person that people are thinking of. Like, for example, oh, this person says that I am so kind, but I feel like I'm not that kind, you know? I've had an identity crisis before, of course, when I was way younger. I felt that before I really, really wanted to be accepted in society when I was a student in high school or in middle school. I really wanted to have more friends, but then I felt that, oh, by pleasing them, I could be accepted and have more friends. But then there are times when I felt that I didn't enjoy it just to please others. And that is just in contrast with my real self, my inner real self, if that makes sense.
Aloha, Deidre. So to answer your first question, I believe I know what an identity crisis is. I think it's a time or point in somebody's life, and it could happen to anybody, where they kind of didn't reach their goals or meet their aspirations that they were really trying to work on or desiring to reach, and they kind of get into this phase of confusion and uncertainty, and they get a little insecure about themselves, and they're at this little roadblock in life where it could affect them for a while or just a short time, and they just have to reevaluate and go on from there. I think I have experienced some somewhat of an identity crisis before. I moved to Hawaii by myself and it wasn't easy at all, but I really tried to kind of refresh my perspective on things and be a better person from there and to take away all the detail and focus on why I had it. It was because restarting everything, I had to put away all my goals and dreams that I had before for just a little short time, but it really affected me because I felt like I was lost and I didn't really know who I was, and I was working so hard on trying to be someone and something. I eventually found it, and it took a lot of self evaluation, and everything worked out in the end.
Hey, Terrell. So I didn't really know what
an identity crisis was off of the top of my head, but then I looked it up. So I think identity crisis means where you don't have a solid sense of who you are. And according to the dictionary, it occurs particularly around adolescence. I don't think I've ever really had an identity crisis per se, but I think that I'm still at the point where I'm still kind of solidifying my identity and sort of learning more about my personality and how I sort of am changing and adapting and getting to know myself more. So I wouldn't say I've ever had an identity crisis, but I'm still at the point where I'm getting to learn more about my identity.
So when I think of identity crisis, I think of somebody who may be a little confused or insecure of themselves and who they are, and are maybe a bit lost and trying to find really who they are and their place in this world. I feel like I've definitely felt or have had an identity crisis, you know, being someone Tongan and growing up in, you know, the mainland, growing up in Florida, you know, where you're not around your culture as much and, you know, you're taught in schools to only speak English and that, you know, English is the dominant language, so you shouldn't worry about your native language. Can kind of confuse a kid who's, you know, ancestors are from the island. So growing up, I felt like maybe I didn't know what to identify as. So when people ask, I would tell them that I was Hawaiian, and definitely that's not true. I'm definitely not Hawaiian. Sometimes I definitely still feel like, you know, I struggle with, you know, my identity and who I am and who I represent. But I feel like being here in Hawaii, being close and around people that look like me has definitely helped in the sense of grasping or helping me understand, you know, within myself who I am and where I come from, but also looking to family members and really digging into my family history and you know, where my family comes from. I think that helped solve a lot of the identity issues that, you know, that I had growing up, and it's something that, you know, I grew to not be ashamed of representing who I am and where I'm from. Side note, I know I said I'm definitely not Hawaiian, but there's nothing wrong with being Hawaiian. My wife is Hawaiian and my kids are Hawaiian, so just wanted to put that out there.
When you are confused about who you really are, what do you want to do and what you want to be, that's what I call as an identity crisis. A lot of teenagers around the world experience this problem, actually. In my own experience, I had an identity crisis when I was in high school, because as an Indonesian citizen, it's hard for me, who is half Japanese and half Chinese, to fit in a specific culture. It just felt that I don't belong anywhere. But in the end, I realized that what defines your identity is not your genes, it's not your family. It's about what do you choose to be. It's all about choice. Isn't it simple?
Alright, do you know what an identity crisis is?
Hi, okay, identity crisis is, to be very honest, I'm not really sure about what it means, what it defines. But I just know a little based on my experience. When I was in my childhood, when I grew up, everyone will always look at me different because I'm half and half. My dad is Indian, my mom is Filipino. Even my own family, like my sides, then outsiders, they're always like, okay, is she your daughter? Because she doesn't look like you, don't have the same skin tone, she's a bit lighter. Why? Then they'd be like, oh, mixed marriage. Or, because it's not very common olden days, as not as popular as nowadays, because olden days generation, their mindset is very different. When I'm in school, everyone always asks, they like to guess. They like to play the guessing game. I don't know why. Then it'd be fun for us for a while. As we get older, we get irritated. Because I feel we are the same.
And it confused you as well.
Confused me. I'd be like, they'd be thinking, why can't you speak this language? Why can't you speak your mom's language? Why you can't speak your mother's language, your father's language, whoever language? I'd be like, oh, I never learned. No one taught me. No one, like, you know, really focused and thinking. Because for me, I feel that everything is the same. My dad and my mom brought me up like that. Like, everyone's equal. We don't see colors and all that. But then, as always, once you come up from the house.
So my minor is psychology, and we did study about identity crisis. So just a surface answer would be it's one of Erikson's psychosocial development that happens during your teenage years. But if I could explain it, it usually happens whenever, you know, you reach a new milestone in your life and you still have not fully adjusted to it. So it can be a new relationship, a new role, a new job, or when you move into a new country, or basically when you have all these new roles at the same time. So for me, it happens when there are different expectations of me and they're all different. So it kind of makes me question why I have so many personalities or responsibilities, and, you know, am I fake at one point? Am I real? Or I think it's just having to accept the fact that I can have many personalities in one person, depending on, you know, the people I'm with or the situation. But I don't think you should let it bother you too much, because I just feel like, you know, you can look at it as growth that you just need adjusting to.
Those are all really good responses.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's not something that can be simplified.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
but
hard.
But there's one though, Terrell. Remember how you said you wonder if everyone has experienced this because you feel everyone has?
Yeah.
But then there was one person there who mentioned that she never actually felt like she had an identity crisis, because she said that she's solidifying herself. So I think it's true, because the key word there is crisis. So you know where, right? Crisis means like a time when it's extremely difficult or even dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So like, probably for her, she never felt like, maybe she was confused, but she never felt like it was a crisis.
That is a very interesting thing to think about, to be honest.
What do you think, MJ? What do you think about the audio mess recording?
So before I listened to this, I feel like, oh, I knew who I was. Like, identity crisis, that's something in my past. But now, after listening to it, I feel like I actually am probably going through an identity crisis right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Because you're graduating, right?
I feel like, yeah, people have been asking me a lot of questions. Am I going to go back to Japan, or am I going to stay in America? And like for me, because my personality, I have commitment issues, so I don't like the idea of only having two choices. But also people ask me, oh, would I rather marry a Japanese or an American? And well, the answer for that is I really don't know. And I guess that's where I am, having an identity crisis. I don't know which culture fits me personally better.
Yes, that's true.
Damn. Oh, wow. Damn, I lost for words, honestly.
Oh, really?
Like, I...
Why?
I don't know. Everything's so agreeable. I think it makes sense in my head.
Yeah, that's why it just shows that identity crisis can happen to anyone through whatever experience they're going through. Like, it's true. It's based on their circumstances, where they're from, the culture.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that we should never compare, because, again, all of us are going through something that not everyone can understand, because we are in our own path. We have our own challenges and our own trials.
It's important to know, like, this could happen to someone. Let's say you start a new relationship.
You might
have an identity crisis because you're with someone else now, doing new things. Or maybe you have a traumatic event that's for sure going to change you. Or you have a health condition, like, that changes people as well.
Yes.
When you lose a loved one, when you move away, or even when you start a new job. Oh my goodness, yes, you can have an identity crisis.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now that you mentioned about health, I have an experience to share. So it's about my mom. So if you guys know or not know about my story already, well, you can get to listen what it's like to be in that position. So as you guys know or might not know, is that my mom had cancer, or kidney cancer to be more exact. I remember what I was feeling on that time is that everything suddenly became so dark. Like, I didn't know how I was gonna take care of my mom, because I feel like I don't feel like totally obligated, but I feel like I have a sense of responsibility. Somehow I feel like I want to take care of her, and I need to take care of her, because she's not gonna live long after this medical condition, because she already got taken out the kidney, and then she has one more to live. And that time, I remember it was a month before I fly to Hawaii, and I felt like, man, should I still go to Hawaii still and all that? But my mom told me,
so,
no.
Like, you're confused whether you should stay and be a responsible son or go on with your own life.
Yes, exactly. But at the end of it, when I arrived to Hawaii, like, I have thought about my dreams, and I feel like I should really put away. Not saying you shouldn't follow your dreams and all that. I'm still following my dream. I'm doing my podcast right now. I'm grateful for doing that. But sometimes you have to see your circumstances or what's happening. Like for instance, is that I feel that I want to take care of my mom after I finish school. And that's my goal. If I ever get married here or like have a relationship here or not, my end goal after finishing school is to still go back to my mom and take care of her, because I know she's not going to live long. And I really, really love my mom, and I really wanted to take care of her, and I want to let her know that I really love her and I appreciate everything that she's doing. So I feel like in terms of identity crisis, it does change the way you think and your goals and then how you want to help others in a way, or help yourself even, because you feel you have responsibility in helping someone. I guess it does impact on someone when there's certain health conditions. Well, if someone's passed away already, then yeah, that's of course you're going to have some sort of identity crisis and you feel like, why is it like this? Why is it happening to me? You know? What about you, MJ? Like, did you have any experiences in specifically? Actually, you already answered those questions. Why am I asking this again?
Well, I'm sure there's many experiences.
Okay, yeah. Well, what other experiences that you have that you can think of?
So it's not really an experience, but before I came to Hawaii, when I was going to college, there was this idea started coming up to me. So I started just thinking about why we love people. And there's this one concept of like not putting people into categories. I try not to focus on categories as much. And well, that came about because I had a good friend who loved to eat meat. I love my friend, but it's not that I loved her because she ate meat. And just on the other side, I also had another roommate who was vegan. And I didn't love her because she was vegan. I loved her because she was her. And so that's how I started focusing on realizing that I didn't love people because of the things that they do, what categories they belong to. I love them for them. And even for me personally, I don't consider myself as one category being Japanese. I see myself more as me. I don't go into the category of being Japanese American. I don't identify myself with that category, but because I do recognize myself with being Japanese and I am also American, I feel more comfortable with being with people who has more different categories. And I think if there's more categories, I feel more comfortable being with a more diverse group. So most of the friends I hang out with aren't as similar as I am.
That's true. I feel that I prefer being around different cultures. Because like, it's hard, yeah, when people always expect you to act this way because of this culture, or act this way. But I think that's one thing we all have to remember is like, don't compare ourselves to others, for one thing. It's good to be surrounded by different people because you learn from all of them and you rediscover things that you may have not liked before and then you like now, or you actually learn to like new things as well.
So there's these words that are by a leader that inspires me, that he said we should always allow other people to change.
Yeah, and you'll never know, like surrounding yourself with different people, you may find same or something similar experience or like something that they are facing in terms of identity crisis, and then you can relate to them. You know, like one thing we want you all to make sure is that you're not alone in this fight. We are not facing the same trials, but we are facing trials.
Yeah, for sure. Like even if you're not mixed race, it doesn't mean that you don't have an identity crisis. Like even Terrell, maybe some people are like Terrell, they are Chinese, but they don't feel comfortable speaking Chinese.
Yeah, I've never seen any of that here so far, so.
I've seen that here. You know, the banana.
Yeah, but there's not enough ABCs here, so.
No, but the point is there are people out there.
Oh yeah, of course.
Where
of
you
course.
Are.
Yeah.
They can be anywhere. And they may be alone in where they are, but at least they're not alone knowing that someone else out there goes through the same thing they do.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of it, you know, they can help themselves to understand of you just being there to listen to them. And you never know. New friendships. And then you will be able to, again, to find similarities. And at the end of the day, you're helping each other. Again, I lost for words. I really don't know what to say after this.
It's okay,
Terrell. A lot of things.
He's still thinking he's Beyonce, so he's questioning himself right now.
Anyone who's listening here today, we want you to know that we don't know what you're going through specifically, but we know what it feels like. And so if you ever feel alone, you can be sure to check us out. You know, we'll be able to reply you. Just DM us on DT Talks and we'll be sure to have a reply away, and then you'll be able to not feel alone from that. You know, at the end of the day, nobody wants to feel alone. Yes.
Yeah, but MJ, how would you help someone if you know that they're going through an identity crisis?
I guess my advice to them would be just focusing on doing what they love. I would probably help them, yeah, focus more on things like, yeah, what they want to do, but not be too influenced by what other people think what they should do.
That's good. Amen. That's definitely good. Yeah, I agree. Especially get involved in activities. This is the time, guys, to not think about what other people will think. This is the time to think about you, what you want to do, rediscover things about yourself. Sometimes some people, I know they will feel like, no, I shouldn't do this because like this is how I was brought up. I shouldn't just dismiss it like that. But sometimes it's okay to leave aside certain things you were brought up with.
Yeah, you just express yourself.
As long as your values are good, guys.
Yeah, as long as it's... Yeah, don't kill anybody,
yeah,
of course.
Don't kill anyone.
As long as you align yourself, that makes you feel good in being better as a person, then yeah, why
yeah,
not?
Being
you know?
Better, yes.
Yeah, and maybe you're working on a hobby. You know, if you like to sing, sing your life out. Oh, actually, let's not do that. But do it because yeah. Sing because you want to. And then maybe you'll find your own identity through singing, you know? I guess.
I'm suddenly thinking of My Chemical Romance, the song Sing. Such a good song.
I don't know what that song is. Yeah, you have to sing it.
Oh, never mind.
Deidre.
It's okay, guys. Message is clear in that song, but it's okay.
Okay, fair enough. In order for you to find your own identity, it's not the perfect solution. But I guess like what MJ and Deidre has already emphasized is doing something that you like. Perhaps eating food. You know, you're a
explore.
A mukbang person who likes to watch mukbang videos and makes you feel satisfying of watching all of that. And then you...
ASMR.
Yeah, ASMRs. And then you just find it, wow, this is so satisfying. Like, I want to do something similar. And then you just eat and eat and eat. And it's fine.
I think sometimes it's still hard to know what is really satisfying for yourself. It's hard to even think about, like, you know, it's hard to make a decision on what you want to eat. But I think what helped me with that learning process was... if I really wanted to have that chocolate shake, for example, like when I was at work on my lunch break, when I'm choosing what I want to eat.
Oh, I always have that trouble deciding what to eat.
I would think about like, oh, I really want this chocolate cake or chocolate shake. And then later on, I think like when I look at my health goals, it makes me think, oh, am I going to regret having that chocolate shake versus having this salad instead? So that's why I choose like doing what I wanted is actually not what I wanted immediately. It's just looking at other long-term goals, thinking about for myself.
That's a good point as well. It's like you don't have to decide everything now, like exactly now. It is for sure a process. It'll take time, but that's the best time to really get to know yourself as you explore different aspects of yourself.
Again, you never know what you're going to find. Maybe eventually you'll find yourself in that crisis. It's not easy. I know that because all three of us here have been through that stage. I'm still going through that stage.
Still going through it.
Yeah, like I still don't feel comfortable speaking
it's
Mandarin.
Like you get out of one particular crisis and then you get sucked into another.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I think it's just everything we go through in life, something new, something that's unusual to us that we've never experienced before. That's when we just started to have this crisis in our life. Ooh.
Don't panic, guys. Don't panic.
Yeah, just calm down and think. Relax for a few seconds or a minute and think about how you're going to evaluate the things that you're going to do in the future. And that way you won't have a panic attack for having an identity crisis. You know, you'll be able to focus. You'll be able to control yourself. You may be happy after that. So we never know. You just got to try. You just got to do it and you'll be fine. Hopefully.
I think another thing I could suggest is doing a personality test. They could be kind of biased, but I feel like because of their emphasis on because it's your personality, you could ignore the cultural commitments you might have. They've really helped me. I've taken this test called the Clifton Strengths and it tells me what I'm really good at and I work off those things and it lets me focus on what my personality is rather than what my culture is.
Well, there you have That's it. True. Take personality test.
It does help, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Everybody, if you want to, or if you have an identity crisis, maybe take a personality test. You never know. You'll find something that's interesting about yourself and you may surprise yourself with what kind of person you are. And then you discover it and then you try to learn it. And then you're like, boom. Oh, actually, I can feel happy now because I know that this specific information. So do that. Again, we hope that you'll be happy. If not, just hang in there. You're doing great, my friends and family. You got this.
In the end, no matter what you go through, just remember you're not alone in this. And whatever it is, this is a time to explore, rediscover yourself, as long as your values are good, guys. Just remember that. Don't compare yourself to others too. Just be you.
Amen. Any last words, MJ?
Please don't kill me.
Nope. Okay. I mean, like, I thought you're gonna ask them not to kill themselves, but no, I mean, we're not gonna,
no,
we're not holding you hostage.
No, we don't want that.
But Ari though. Nah. Anyways, friends and family, thank you so much for listening to our podcast, DT Talks Season 3. We hope you enjoy with what we have talked about of identity crisis and hope you'll be able to relate to it, and we'll find this definitely helpful as well. Well, MJ, thank you so much for being our guest here today. How do you feel now being in our podcast?
Well, now I'm going through an identity crisis, I guess.
Well, lovely, lovely. Well, thank you for being our guest once again. So hopefully you enjoyed and you're awesome.
You're awesome too.
So follow us on our social media platform, Facebook, finally Instagram, Buzzsprout, yeah. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music as well. So stay tuned for new episodes every weekend. You all have a wonderful day. And this has been
DT Talks.
Woo! That's a wrap.